rise from our beds and see another day. That's a beautiful day. But this is the Lord's day. And the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I look out and I see that this is what normally is known as Easter Sunday. And we know in churches of Christ that every Sunday for us is Easter Sunday. But I still like the tradition because it puts the emphasis on Christ worldwide. And so when I see the pastel colors come out and I see, when I was growing up, I looked forward to Easter because I knew I was going to get some new shoes, I was going to get a new tie, new suit. I don't want us to downplay today. Let's still lift up the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ arose on this day to give us the abundant life. He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so we appreciate all that God has done. Our God is alive and our Lord Jesus Christ is alive. And so we rejoice on this day. Next week we'll begin our second quarter with Brother Harold Redd. And we want you all to plan to be here. Bring your friends, your family, your guests. Let's pack these pews, both services. And that means that you're going to have to make a commitment now to be here and to support all that we have planned for that day. We hope that you will make a special effort to be here. Let's make this total Sunday where everyone is here in order to support our second quarter. The second quarter will begin with our theme concerning the heart of Christ. There's no way for us to deal with any of these things without talking about the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, dealing with his efforts in ministry. They're all going to blend, but we want to just highlight his compassion and how that the Lord Jesus Christ really reached out because of his heart to mankind, that mankind might be saved. So next week, let's put that on our calendar. We begin with the teacher's workshop, and we encourage everyone to be a part of that workshop. We have a lot planned for that day, and I know our elders will share more with you. My time is limited, and so I want to share with you from 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood, I want you to underscore, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The book of John, this epistle of John, was written somewhere around 85 through 90 A.D. It was written to the church at large concerning their salvation. Not only their salvation, but to strengthen them against false teachers. Key words: fellowship, truth, know, eternal life. These words and the phrase eternal life are predominant in his epistles. The context of our verse is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. John points out the intimate fellowship that they, the apostles, had with Jesus, and that they were absolutely certain as eyewitnesses that he was the Son of God. He said, our hands have handled him. We have seen him with our eyes. We know that he is the Son of God. And they emphasize that we have fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. And he also says, and with they also say, that they have fellowship with the Father. The only way for us to have fellowship with God is to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. But here's the one thing that you need to see that is so important and you cannot overlook. The only way that we can have fellowship with God is that you and I are cleansed and continuously cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, based on that, I want to use for a subject, covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. The fact that God is God and there is no darkness in him, he cannot fellowship with mankind if mankind is guilty of sin. Sin brings about darkness. God being light cannot fellowship with darkness. God being light cannot fellowship with darkness because there is no darkness in God at all. If there is any ounce of sin in any man, it breaks the fellowship with God because there is no darkness in God. God is only light, and you and I need to understand this wonderful principle. So what I'm dealing with this morning is the efficacy and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. What I want to do is to go back in the Old Testament, and I want to show you how his blood is prefigured in the Old Testament. Then what I want to do is come and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ is the one by whom the blood becomes that which gives us our covering in God, allowing our fellowship. When you go back in the Old Testament, you and I are familiar with Adam and Eve. God made them perfect. God made them upright. There was absolutely no sin with Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree that was forbidden, that brought sin into their lives. And what it did was it broke fellowship between them and God. Now, when they realized that they had sinned and their eyes were open and that they were naked, they took leaves from fig trees and made themselves aprons to cover themselves, to cover their nakedness. But God is said to have done something that prefigures how important it is for God to provide a covering for sinful man. For the Bible teaches us that God had done to them, unto Adam, Genesis 3:21, also and to his wife did the Lord, watch this now, did the Lord God make. Adam and Eve made for themselves. But the Bible says in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. And watch the word, clothed them, covered them. What you see is that God recognized that their man-made coverings were insufficient. Man cannot cover himself. God took an animal, and he had to have slain the animal to take the skin of the animal and to cover them with the skin of the sacrificed animal. God did that. On another occasion, in Exodus chapter 12, in verse number 21 through verse number 24, the Bible said, then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in, watch this, the blood that is in the basin. Take a lamb, kill it. Take the hyssop, the bunches of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Strike the lintels and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you, watch him now, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer, watch this, will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons. God made a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. But he made that difference with blood. Every Israelite had to put blood over his door, over the side post of his door. But it had to be the blood of a lamb. Not just any lamb, but a male lamb. And the lamb had to be in the first year. And the lamb had to be without spot and without blemish. No bone of the lamb's body could be broken. And the lamb had to be, once the blood was taken, the lamb had to be roasted. And they partook of the lamb, ate of the lamb, and that was their nourishment for their journey, for their deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Blood has always been a part of God's deliverance, God's covering, God's salvation for his people. In Leviticus 12:11, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. That word atonement simply means to make a covering for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. When you look at Israel, who were in fellowship with God, God could not fellowship with them without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22, the Bible said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God recognized that the only way that I can stay in fellowship with Israel is that there must be blood. He delivered them by the blood of a lamb. Then he gave them the blood of the lamb, blood of animals, male animals, that could be offered upon the altar, but it became an atonement for their sin. Listen to what he says again. He said, for the life is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. There is none of us who can exist without blood. Diseases come through the blood. The blood has to stay pure. The blood has to stay where it brings life into our flesh. But God says, not only does the blood give life to your physical flesh, but blood is important for your spiritual life. God is the one who gave it. When he talks in terms of it being an atonement, gave it to you upon the altar that you may make an atonement for your soul, here are some things that you have to see. Here's the conclusion of that, or here's the observation of that. Number one, this speaks to the holiness and the righteousness of God. The mere fact that they have to go to the altar to make an atonement says that God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. The second thing that it says, it speaks to the sinfulness of mankind. It speaks to his unrighteousness. Why have an altar? Why have the blood if man is righteous and God is righteous? The only way that fellowship can be maintained between God and sinful man is that blood has to be offered, indicating God's righteousness, man's unrighteousness. Here's the second thing, third thing. When you think in terms of this idea of atonement for our souls with blood, it says that sin brings about death. If you don't offer blood for atonement of your soul, then God will have to require your death, because the wages of sin is death. Only way you can live, only way you can live is that you have to go to the altar, take a lamb, which brings in number four. If you don't die, something's got to die. If you don't die, you better have a substitute. And the substitute has to be identified with you. So when you come to the altar, bring the lamb, bring the male goat, bring the male bull. But what you do, when you get to the altar, put your hand on the head of the lamb. Put your hand on the head of the bull. Why? Because that bull, that lamb, is going to be your substitute. Instead of you dying, that bull, that lamb, will die in your stead. That lamb will die, but you will live. But what caused you to be able to live is that the blood was shed, that the lamb was substituted. And when God looked down on you and you deserve death, God transferred your penalty from that, from yourself, to the lamb. And therefore the lamb's blood was that great redeeming
Are you with me?
That great redeeming of your life. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I am saying to you that this prefigured who Jesus Christ is, if you get that picture, then you can have better appreciation for who Jesus really is. Moving to point number two, Christ is the Lamb of God. Watch the Bible, Hebrews 10, verse number 1 through 10. The Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. He said, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, I hope I don't have time to just really go through this like I really want to, but I think you get it. Watch this now. For the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Do thy will, O God. But when he said, sacrifices and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Here's the difference. Jesus came to this world. God, through his son, took human flesh, took a body like yours and mine, lived in that body, but he lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life, and he knew that a lamb and a goat could never be substituted for a man's life. For lambs and goats and bulls are not men, not humans. God said the only way that I can truly, truly take all your sin away is that I got to have a suitable substitute. That's why when John the Baptist saw him coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was so important that Jesus Christ come in the flesh that he might take away, become our substitute to take away the sin of the world. Matthew 26, we take the communion every Sunday, but this is where you have to understand. Matthew 26:26, Jesus coming to the close of his ministry, and the cross is before him. Here's what he says. And as they were eating, he's eating with the 12. Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat. This is, watch him, this is my body. In other words, you got to understand, this is my body. This is my human body. And he says, you got to see, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood. Notice he says, I got a body, and I got blood, but this is my body, and this is my blood. But it's in and of the New Testament. God had to take away that old covenant where bulls and goats and lambs were offered because they were imperfect. And he had to bring a new covenant. And Jesus says, I want you to understand that the new covenant, this new relationship between you and God, is now based on my body and it's based on my blood. Now, the only way that I can make and affect that perfect relationship between you and God is that I've got to go to the cross. I got to go to the altar. And on that altar, I've got to sacrifice my life. I understand that the only reason that I came into the world is that I might make my way to Calvary's cross 33 years. I understand my destiny is to go to Calvary's cross. So when Judas put a kiss on his cheek, when the men from the guard arrested him, Jesus understood, I'm on my way to the altar. And when they took him from one court to another court, took him from Annas to Caiaphas, and then back to Caiaphas again. And then, well, when they finished with all of that and finally took him to Pilate, and Pilate did all he could to try to get them to choose Jesus over Barabbas, that Jesus could live. Jesus, Bible said, opened not his mouth. Somebody ought to ask me, why didn't he try to defend himself? Because he knew that I'm here as the Lamb of God Almighty, and it's my duty, and it's the only way that mankind can have fellowship with God Almighty, is that I make my way to Calvary's cross. So when Pilate had stripped him, Pilate had beat him, and they tell me that the whips that they beat him with, that they beat him with a whip that had pieces of bone and pieces of metal, and they whipped him across his back, whipped him all over. Blood came out of those wounds. They plaited a crown of thorn, put it on his head, and blood came from those crown of thorns. Then they took him and brought him to Calvary's hill, but they had to bear his cross. But while he was up there, they put nails in his hands. Blood came from his hand. Then they put nails in his feet. Blood came from his feet. Blood coming from every part of this sacrifice. But the one that I believe made all the difference in the world was when he finally had expired on the cross. And they decided that we better hurry up and speed up that death. Well, when they came to Jesus and they wanted to break his bone, but they couldn't break his bone because the Bible said, not a bone of his body shall be broken. So what the Roman soldier did, he took a spear and he pierced him in his side. And the Bible said, forthwith came blood and water. I'm glad that Jesus took my place. I'm glad that Jesus made the difference between mankind and God. I'm glad as the prayer was prayed, he became a bridge between God and man. I'm glad this morning that Jesus loved me so much that he gave his own life, gave his own body, gave his own blood, that I might be freed from my sin. As I close, I got to close now. And I know that it's a whole lot more that I could say, but I'm just going to close this book and come on down. Let me tell you, when you think in terms of our justification comes because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning, I'm glad that I have a good relationship with God Almighty. It becomes of the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, how can I get covered by the blood? I'm glad you asked me, how can I get under the covering of the blood? Well, number one, you got to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel where we stand. That is the gospel by which you and I are saved. It's a powerful gospel. Why is it so powerful? It's so powerful because it is able to cleanse the sins of the whole world. Not just one time, but it cleansed the world from sin. That one time when it went to Calvary's cross. Oh, we sing the song, power in the blood. Power was in the blood of Jesus Christ that it was able to do it one time. And it didn't have to keep going back year after year trying to shed blood. That one time he was able to do that. Somebody's asking, well, Brother Gibbs, how can I get covered by the blood? Well, listen to what John said. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, number one, you got to get in the light. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, how can I get in the light? You got to hear the gospel. Then you got to believe it with all of your heart. Believe the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Believe that he came, substituted his life for you, and gave his life on Calvary for you. He died. Amen. He died on Calvary for you, but you also were crucified with him. Help me, Brother Gibbs, if you can. Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, Bible says we are buried with him by baptism in the death. We are buried with him by baptism in the death. How do I get in Christ? I'm buried with him by baptism in the death. Somebody say, well, why must I be baptized into his death? Over there in John 9 and verse number 33, Bible says that it was after that Jesus died that the Roman soldier pierced him in his side. Forthwith came blood and water. Well, let me help you understand that you got to go into the death of Christ in order to contact the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to be covered? I believe you do. You got to hear the gospel. You got to believe the gospel. You got to repent of your sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. That baptism puts you into Christ. Now watch this. It simulates the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ when you're buried with him by baptism in the death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So when I went down, I came up as Jesus went down on that Friday, but he came up on that Sunday. I go down in the water, but I come up. I'm a brand new creature. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. The blood of Jesus Christ has sanctified me. The blood of Christ has redeemed me and made me pure. Am I right about it? Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, help me, help me. Well, let me see if I can help you this way. If I walk in the light as he is in the light and we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us. That means it's continuous. Well, I thought about how in the world could that be. And I thought about my insurance. I thought about Allstate. I got insurance with Allstate. I had to take out a policy with Allstate. And when I took out that policy, I had to pay a premium. And I had to sign. And when I did that, then Allstate covered my house, covered my life, covered all of my cars. When you ask me, are you covered? I tell you, I'm covered by Allstate. What's covered? My life. What's covered? I'm talking about this physical life. What's covered? My house. They cover all of the contents in the house. They cover the house itself. They cover the car. They cover everybody that rides with me. They cover, making sure that if something happens, that they're supposed to pay. But anyway, I'm trying to tell you, I'm covered. So I carry an insurance card around with me. Every time I'm stopped, I show them my Allstate insurance. Whenever I have a claim, I call the agent and I give him a number, and they look in the file and they find out, yes, Mr. Gibbs, you are covered. Am I right? And so as I drive, I feel good because I'm covered. When I'm lying in my bed, I feel good because I'm covered. But Allstate can't cover my soul. Allstate can't cover that part of me that will have to live eternally. Am I right about it? When I die, Allstate to give that money to my family. They ain't going to give it to me. But when I get covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, thank God I cover my soul. When I die, all I have to do is carry my insurance card with me. Am I right about it? Well, what does it read? It reads, covered by Jesus Christ, his blood. Am I right about it? Oh, I done got happy now, and I'm so glad that God has covered me. God has carried me. When I go through life, I understand the difficulties that come in life. I understand how the sickness comes. I understand how accidents come. I understand how the earthquakes. I understand how tornadoes tear this. But I don't worry. Why? Because I know I'm covered. Am I right about it? I heard the psalmist say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do cover me. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, I know I need to stop right here, but I'm covered today. I'm covered today. I'm all right. Take my life. I'm covered. I'm going to fly out of here today. Sister Gibbs and I are going to fly out of here today. Right. And we're going to go to Chicago to the National Lectureship. But I got news for you. Man, I'm covered. I'm covered. If that plane, if that pilot decides that I don't want to go to Chicago and I'm going to take it into the Alps, I'm going to take it into the mountain. Gone. Take it if you want to. I'm all right. I'm covered. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I know I got too happy. I know I got too happy. I know I did. But that's all right. Because I know I'm covered. I know I'm covered. And I thank Jesus for covering me by his blood and his sacrifice. Listen, it doesn't make sense for a man to go through life and not have insurance. It don't make sense. Why would you drive without insurance? Why would you invest all that money in a house and don't have insurance? And if you got sense enough to insure your house, your car, why don't you have enough sense to insure your soul? You're not gonna accidentally make it to heaven. You want to show proof. You want to show proof of insurance. Go before the judge. Well, how's a good man? No, you ain't that good enough to be in the fellowship of God. No. Listen, there's no such thing as perfection in this world. It was proven. It was proven last night. When Kentucky they were going for a perfect. Oh Lord, our time is gone. I dropped that. Listen. Why you picked it up? I want you to just listen to me with your ears. Listen. Man, Kentucky thought 38 times was enough proof, enough evidence that when 39 comes around, it's going to be like 38. Pass games. But Wisconsin, let them know you ain't perfect. And clipped them. Now that's a visual of how well you can do. But just one slip disqualifies you to be in fellowship with God, because there is no darkness. And unless you're covered by the blood, unless you live your life covered, you got to be covered. And the only way to be covered is by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say so much more. Are you covered? You young folk, you need to think about being covered. You can play all these games. I got 3 and 4 year old grandchildren. And the first thing they want, where's your iPad? Pawpaw, let me use your iPad. And I let them use it. And they watch me. And you know why they watching me? Because they want to learn my code. And they so smart. Hear me well. They so smart. They all had to do is say it one time. I said, get on away from me, boy. I'm going to open this up for you. Move. Turn your head. I open it up. Then I give it to them. And brother, let me tell you, they know how to go and get those apps. They know how to go and download. Then they bring it back to me. Pawpaw, I need the code to Apple Store. Password to Apple Store. I said, why? You know what that tells me? Make a long story short. They're smart enough to know Jesus. That's all I'm saying. They're smart enough to know Jesus. And young people, if you don't start putting your emphasis on Jesus, you ought to learn his app. Put him in your life. That's my lesson. The rain says you do need to stop. All right. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have coverage, and you're not even thankful for what Jesus has done for you, I beg you to change your attitude, change your mind. Let Jesus cover your life today. You do that by having heard this gospel, believing it, repenting of your sin, and confessing it. And when you go down in the water of grave of baptism, as I've told you, you come in contact with the blood of Christ, and he'll cleanse you, and he will make you a part where you live your life according to his will. Will you come? If you're straight, come right now. While together we stand and sing, will you come? What can I show?